This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with Hezral Ashraf. So 2020 has been an extremely tough year for schools as COVID-19 disrupted the academic year and forced teachers and students to adapt to new norms and practices. Classes went virtual, and then students shifted between remote and in-person learning while most major exams were postponed. Indeed, many saw 2020 as the lost year in education. Now, to take us through the lessons schools have learned from that lost year and how they'll navigate 2021, I'm joined by Ian Salas, campus principal at Tenby Schools, Sitya Eco Park. Ian, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Hezral, for inviting me, and I'm very excited to have a conversation about COVID-19 and the educational challenges that we're all facing.
Great, let's start. COVID-19 has made 2020 a tough year for students, teachers, and parents. How has the pandemic challenged established educational norms and practices?
Yeah, I think it's been different for different parts of the world, and also I think it's been different for different parts of Malaysia, and depending where you are and the SOPs in certain states, I think things have been different. You know, I've done 22 years in education. I think from a leadership point of view, I think this is my most challenging year as a school leader. I think one of the differences that we have noticed this year is it's probably the first time in history where parents have been able to see the learning at home. Particularly in our case, we've been online learning really since March, and parents have been able to see what our teachers deliver, and also they've been able to make a judgment on their child's learning, probably for the first time. And I think that's been a big difference. I think the differences we've had to make in our system and process changes between being in school and out of school. I think we've started school about 6 times now and closed 3 times. So people have had to be very adaptable. You know, the questions have been asked is, do we need bricks and mortar? Do we need school buildings to get good learning? My personal opinion is we still do. You know, I've come into education to make sure that I'm with people. I enjoy being with people. And I think the people element is a big part of some of the things we have lost over the COVID and pandemic. And I think there's been a difference between where does learning stop? You know, students come into school and then they go home. And even though there are learning opportunities outside of school, obviously there's learning opportunities for students in a whole range of different areas. But actually, where has the learning stopped? What's homework? What's not homework? And equally for our teachers, you know, they've been in dialogue with students at 5 and 6 o'clock at night because they've been home on their laptop. So I think there has been lots of different patterns, but I think the key pattern for me is that learning has got to be the focus all the way through. And I think that's got to be at the heart of all our decisions. I think one of the differences that we've all, the challenges is how do we assess learning when children are home? And that's been a huge challenge for everyone across the globe. I think the challenges have been overcome. I think human behaviour has changed quickly, and that's been a positive thing. And I think both our parents, our students and staff have changed their behaviour patterns incredibly quickly. So I think there's more to come in 2021. I was hoping 2021 was going to be a clean year, but I think there's going to be more learning taking place over the next few months.
Right. So you mentioned that teachers and students have adapted very quickly, but do you think they've fully embraced these new norms, you know, in the long run?
Yeah, I think we've had to. I think in order to operate, I know there'd be people and listeners out there that would be in different situations. But in our particular case at Tenby Seto Eco Park, we've been online really within 24 hours of our first closure in March. And people have had to change. We've had to change. And I think one of the things I've learned as a leader is sometimes we think people, you know, we take people through a change process and we think it might last 12 months or 24 months. Actually, our staff had to change within 7 days, 6 days, 5 days. So in order to deliver the type of learning that we want and we expect, we've had to do that. That's been a non-negotiable, because if we don't do that, the children aren't going to get the learning experience that they need. Has it been tough? Of course it's been tough. Have we had challenges? Of course we've had challenges. Did we get everything right? Have our staff got everything right? Have our students got everything right? Have our parents got everything right? No, we haven't, but we've gone through that process as a journey. And I do think the learning that we've taken and the shift that we've done, I do think will last. I don't think this is a flash in the pan. I don't think this is something that's going to go and it's going to go away. And I think we need to take these experiences and use them in the future to make us better.
And speaking of those experiences, what specific lessons have you learned from last year, and how will you draw from those lessons to navigate 2021?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Hazel, really. I think one of the lessons that, you know, we say to our community here is, I think we've all got the ability to change and adapt faster than we think. We've had to adapt fast. We've had to think on our feet. And actually change leadership, I mentioned the word change leadership a lot, is that actually the leadership's teams of the schools have had to change quickly, and we've had to adapt to the situation. Actually, people can do it. Yeah, we've had to work hard, but we actually can do it. And also, I think we've learned that, which we knew anyway, but if we don't work in a team and we don't communicate effectively, and we don't listen to each other effectively, then we're not going to be able to make sure that we're safe and the children are safe and learning. So I think that's been some key things. But I think from a learning point of view, the really interesting thing for us is actually, you know, we haven't had teachers necessarily physically in front of classes, but we have had them in front of classes online, is that the knowledge part, actually a lot of the students have had to be independent with their knowledge, and they've had to use different resources to find their knowledge. And actually basing a lot of our learning on skills development, them applying knowledge and skills into their learning, that's actually been a key thing. And actually, when the students come back again next week, you know, we're going to be saying to our students that you guys have actually been very independent. You've gone away and you've worked very independently. And that's a huge change to having a teacher in front of them at all times. So I think the other thing we learn, really second time learn, is about human interaction. We have missed human interaction. And one of the reasons that you become a teacher is because you enjoy working with human beings, you enjoy making people better. And I think that's something that we've missed. And we've tried really hard to make sure that well-being of people, human beings in general, not just staff and students, but also our parents as well, has been at the forefront of everything we do. We've created an online code of conduct. In that code of conduct, we've got lots of things about care and keeping people safe and making sure people are happy at home. So, you know, they're all our sort of our takeaways. I think the challenge of 2021 is we need to approach this with the same energy and vigour and enthusiasm that we had in 2020, and keeping people's energy levels up when potentially this is going to go up and down across 2021 is going to be a big challenge for us as well.
Speaking of teachers, how have educators had to reskill themselves to adjust to new teaching norms, and how will you be supporting them to perhaps strengthen those skills, you know, in the event that classes have to go online again?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to this. I think there's our own human behaviour. I think we've all had to reskill. Being online all day long, going from meeting to meeting, going from lesson to lesson, and not just in education sector, but also in other business sectors. I think everyone has had to reskill and reshape their own behaviours. Finding yourself working at 6 and 7 o'clock at night on a laptop when you start at 7 in the morning has not been unusual, not just for teachers, but also for other people as well. And finding other ways and times to switch off and find times to switch off. I think our teachers have had to reskill in parts. At Tenby SCP, we do run Google Classroom, and we also a Microsoft Teams school. Our teachers were actually already using those systems before we went into lockdown. We've had to use those systems better. We've added other applications that our teachers have had to upskill. We've got a dedicated professional development program for our teachers, where our teachers have been watching videos and tutorials. We've had some of our better teachers sharing information. We're also in a regional network of International Schools Partnership. So we've been lucky enough to work in a group of schools, and we've done lots and lots of sharing of best practice to support our teachers dealing with a whole range of issues, from delivering good learning to making sure they switch off, to wellbeing activities, but also creating a sense of making sure that our teachers know whether our students are learning. We've been purchasing assessment applications that enable us to assess students' learning at home to make it easier for our teachers to mark student work and make sure that our teachers are checking that our children are getting amazing learning experiences. So, you know, the upskilling keeps happening. I've just written an article actually on consolidating rather than bringing in new applications. I think schools are at danger of bringing in too many new applications and new skills, and we need to consolidate the things we're doing well first and get very good at them before we keep introducing new applications. There's so many applications and upskilling apps out there at the moment that we're at 10B SEP, we're actually trying to cut down a little bit on all of the new applications and new systems that we could be using while we're online. So I think there's a balance between upskilling and also consolidating.
Many parents are worried that their children have lost out on a year of schooling as you mentioned just now, you know, students have had to shift between in-person and remote learning several times. How would you recommend people to make up for that lost year?
So we're not using the word lost year, but we're actually saying that this isn't a lost year. I think there was some studies done during the SARS time that I read a few months back now, which had a similar situation in China where there were schools there that went back over what they perceived as lost learning and schools that moved forward. We're going to be one of those schools that moves forward. I think let's never forget the core, you know, maths and English and our STEM subjects are real key areas. So I think there's some core elements that we need to check that students' knowledge and their ability to apply that knowledge is accurate and it's where we need them to be. I think there are some other situations. I'll give you an example, the creativity subjects. Now, creativity subjects, I think, have been hit very hard, you know, running, design technology, you know, we have textiles here, we have food technology here. So if you look at some of those creativity subjects, you would say that they've lost out maybe in some of their learning because they've been at home. But I would equally say our students have had to be ultra creative in some of the ways that they've been working at home. And we've had to find ways to deliver learning, and also they've had to find ways to show that they are learning in ways that they've never done before. We've had students making amazing videos, collecting, recycling, and trying to work with Green Flag School. We've had fish projects going on. We've had students designing columns for Deepa Vali. There's been a whole range of different ways that our parents and students and teachers have worked to be creative. So I think we have to be wary that there might be some knowledge lost, and we need to go back and check that. But at the same time, let's be positive about all the great things that this experience has given us. And I think we've got more independence. I think we've got teachers that are better online. I think we're going to have situations where our parents will be able to see the learning a lot better, even when we come back to school, because everything we do is going to be on Teams and Google, and our parents will be able to have access to that. So I think we've lost, but I think we've gained in some skills as well, and let's not go backwards too much. And that's sort of the message that 10B SEP are sending out to our communities.
Let's pivot to mental health, because that's been a large part of the conversations on COVID-19 in general. What resources should schools have in place to help both students and teachers cope with stress and care for their mental health?
We've all got caught up in this wave of being on our laptops a lot more and being online. And particularly when we're online, where does school stop? Where does school start? How do you switch off? Changing your own human behaviours, you know. So I think we've given out lots of advice. I think we have a wellbeing newsletter that goes out both from International Schools Partnership, who are our globally owned company, and also our 10B SEP school here. So we do give advice to staff and students about how to do it. We created a online code of conduct, and within that online code of conduct, there were behaviour advice on well-being and looking after each other and how to behave. We've tried to ensure that our screens are on and we can see each other. That's an important part. I think at the early stages, we had a lot of screens off, and talking to two initials on the screen is not much fun. And trying to look at people's faces, look at people's human reactions, been important. We've had a school counselling service, both for staff and students, and we've employed professional counsellors that people can access if they feel that they want to talk to someone about how they're feeling. We've run fun things like quizzes, assemblies. We've had lots of competitions going on. We've ensured that it's not all been about the learning. There's been some fun activities. We've had, you know, press-up challenges, sport challenges, art challenges. So, and not just for students, but also for staff as well. I think our leadership team have been ensuring that we identify vulnerable students and staff, people that are on their own over this period. We've made one-to-one phone calls. We've given out Lazada vouchers to our staff, and we've had competitions for our students, and we've tried to motivate people in lots of different ways. So I think there's lots of different areas where we can talk about well-being, but I think from a teacher's point of view, it's very, very difficult to get the level of feedback that you get when you're in the class. And what one of the reasons you become a teacher is that you see people get better. And it's very difficult to see people get better online. It's a massive challenge. So I think from a teacher point of view, when we're back, being able to interact, you know, that supports everyone's well-being. I'm just happier when I'm at school than I'm at home. So I think we need to keep an eye on it. All those things that we've just talked about, I think, are important. But I think one of the things I've learned the most is, you know, we're all being told about, you know, we're going to be taken over by robots. But the human interaction and dealing with people on a day-to-day basis is just, it's vital for human development going forward. And I think that's something that we need to continue to recognize.
Now, to close off, Ian, the post-COVID world will look very different from the one that we're previously used to, even when, you know, in-person learning resumes and students and teachers do go back to school. There's been new trends. The job landscape is evolving very quickly. How should education respond and equip students to cater to new demands?
One of the areas of all of us, whether in education or radio or whatever we're in media, is we're all going to have to take more responsibility for safety. And I think our students going into the workplace and understanding about safe practice, and not necessarily just COVID, but I think health and safety has been, the profile of health and safety has been raised around the world. And I think all of our young people, when they leave us, need to make sure that they're safe in the environment that they work in. And I think that's a really important thing, because we all need to be safe first before anything else. I think one of the things that we practice here anyway before COVID-19, and this isn't necessarily a COVID-19, is trying to teach our students at STP to ensure that they can adapt, they're resilient, that they can change their behaviours to the situation that they're in, they can connect. I think one of the areas that everyone's going to have to work on is you're going to have to move between systems. And when I mean systems, I mean in-school physical systems, online systems, IT systems, application systems, health and safety systems. We've all got to be adaptable and be able to connect systems together. And therefore, our young people are going to have to go out into the workplace and show that they've got that adaptability and connectivity. And they can show those human traits, which I'll keep coming back to, you know. Can our students empathise? Can they show sympathy for others? Can they listen? Can they talk? Can they use their skills and knowledge of STEM activities to implement an impact on the business that they're going to go into? And that's absolutely huge for us. So I think there's been some changes, some tweaks. But I would say, particularly at Tenby SEP, I think that a lot of the skills that we were teaching our children before COVID, I think, are just more at the forefront of our thoughts than they were. So I think we just need to continue doing that. There is going to be changes, but actually a lot of those skills just need to be honed and adapted to the situation that we're in.
With that, Ian, thanks so much for joining me today. And here's to a better and brighter year ahead.
Okay, thanks, Ezra. And keep safe, everyone.
You too. That was Ian Salas, campus principal at Tenby School's Sitia Eco Park. We talked about how schools can navigate 2021 and prepare students and teachers for a post-COVID world. If you missed any of today's conversation or previous Live and Learn episodes, check out our podcasts on the BFM app, bfm.my, or subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Hezra Lashroff, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.